Will the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
37 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excused from the call of the House today is Representative Cato and Fritz. And sometime later, Representatives Larker, Herman, Liska, Phillips, and Euling. And Representative Furness is excused after 6 p.m.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by lay Rabbi Danny Plotnick of the Juneau Jewish community.
Let us pray. In the ancient language of Aramaic, the language spoken during the time of Christ, and present-day Hebrew, a key word is l'chaim, which means to life, one day at a time. L'chaim. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is this morning for those of us of different political, religious, racial, ethnic persuasions to come together and to sing our praise to God. Even on this 15th of April, when some of us are of the persuasion that we are rendering far too much to Caesar, perhaps, and not nearly enough to God. For it is written in the book, the Bible, that is, the good book, what the Lord doth require of thee, and the Lord doth say, to do justice, which means charity, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And let us all say amen.
Amen.
Peace.
Representative Abboud.
That prayer be, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Representative Abboud, is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal.
Presentation we'd like to make in the form of a citation, and Mr. Chairman, I'd like for Mr. Abboud at this present time to read the citation, if you would.
Thank you. Speaker, thank you for the special indulgence this morning, and if I may, I would like to introduce at this time Sandy Plotnick and Rocky Plotnick, wife and daughter of Danny Plotnick. Speaker, members of the House of Representatives, don't be looking over my shoulder. This is honoring and celebrating.
Oh, I have certain rights.
Danny Plotnick. The members of the Alaska Legislature pause to recognize and pay highest tribute to an outstanding chaplain and former member of this body, M.D. Danny Plotnick. Widely recognized as one of the hardest working members of the 4th Alaska Legislature, Danny Plotnick continues to serve his state and community well. He is active in a variety of civic programs. As a lay rabbi for the Juneau Jewish community, he is a spiritual leader. His devotion to the state's elderly is well known, and his former position as director of the Office of Aged has given him the insight and knowledge to continue his activism in private life. As a marrying commissioner, he graciously accommodates and unites many Alaskan couples. Danny Plotnick is an Alaskan we are all proud to call our friend. His commitments to his family and his family of man have made him one of Alaska's most highly respected citizens. Danny's personal energy and positive approach to life have been and continue to be an inspiration to all. On a dark and wintry day, Danny radiates warmth and sunshine from within, and his love and optimism rival the summer's sun. It is an honor to welcome him to these chambers. We look forward to learning from his wisdom, compassion, and understanding. Danny, from all your legislative friends, shalom.
Sponsors on this document go from A to Z, being from Abood to Zharoff. But to make it official, Mr. Speaker, I'll move that this citation, which incidentally will be prepared in a much more elegant way than this this quick draft right here, be framed. I'll move that it be sponsored by all the members of the House.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller, will you make a motion for the approval of the citation?
Speaker, it's my honor to move the approval of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Danny, it's our honor.
Please be seated. I have no special words except that it's a surprise and it's the first time, to my knowledge, that such an honor has been bestowed upon one from both the House and the Senate, and I didn't lobby for it. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Clerk, please certify the journal for the 88th legislative day.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 88th day and House Supplement Number 40.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 88th day and House Supplement Number 40 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests. Or the guest for introduction, Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is with pleasure that I bring back to this body a member of long standing. I would like to introduce in Gallery B an old-time legislator, Thelma Buchholz.
Good morning, Thelma. As a former member of this body, I'd like to extend the privilege of the floor to you if you'd care to address us. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At noon today in Courtroom A, the Washington, Alaska Advisory Committee to the United States Commission on Civil Rights will be releasing a copy of their report entitled, Bringing an Industry into the 80s, Affirmative Action in Seafood Marketing. On hand with us today are the members of that group, and I'd like to present them to you at this time. Catherine Blewett, Chair, Washington State Advisory Committee, Kenneth Fisher, Member, Thomas Sandoval, Member, Thelma Buchholz is the Vice Chair of the Alaska Advisory Committee, which you've just met again, Thelma A. Kreese, Director of the Northwestern Regional Office, Victor Squire, Civil Rights Analyst, Alex Stevens, Regional Attorney, Shelley Summers, Support Staff, and also our Chaplain, Danny Plotnick, is a member of this commission. Would you help me welcome them?
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome a constituent of mine, member of the University Fire Department, Captain Wilson Valentine.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce two of my highest legislative priorities, my wife and my son, Justin. They're in Gallery A.
Representative Miller.
Hey, Duncan, I have a young constituent that's here with the Elks, Northern State Government Group in Gallery A, Wendy Corrigan.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine from Skagway, Mr. Dave Lanigan, the Superintendent of Schools.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of Representative Locker and myself, I'd like to introduce three individuals today. The first individual I'd like to introduce is a member of the League of Women Voters. She's also a member of the Christian Women's Professional Business Club and the Republican Women's Club of our district, Mrs. Sally Harris. And on the program, the Elks Know Your State Government, and I really know the value of it because having taught Alaskan history for years, I was instrumental in this. So I'd like to introduce from Wasilla High School, Terry Taylor, and from Palmer High School, Rita Rogan. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Wente.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm glad that we do have school officials, and particularly that we have students watching the actions of this body as we proceed. But I would, with the Elks program in the Capitol this week from Ketchikan, I'm pleased to introduce Bonnie Bartos and Mike Ball. Also, Mr. Speaker, and again on behalf of Representative McBride and I, I'd like to introduce from Wrangell, Carla Johnson and Gus Brock.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we have some people from the Kenai Peninsula here in Juneau with the Elks Know Your State Government program. And from Soldotna, I'd like to introduce Christy Young and Timothy Obendorf, Gallery A. And also, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of Representative Cato, I would like to introduce a student here with the Know Your State Government program from Cordova, Scott Reed.
Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill Number 187 by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. An act relating to investigations by and granting subpoena power to the Alaska Police Standards Council.
Senate Bill 187 is referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Bill Number 240 by Curtula, an act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature and providing for an effective date.
Senate Bill 240 is referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a communication I'd like to present to the body at this time. Mr. Speaker, because she will be leaving this morning for business elsewhere, I want you to help, you all to help me wish our own proper Lady Godiva happy birthday. Happy birthday to Representative Herman.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 176 relating to employment preference rights for veterans under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 176 State Affairs with the same title and a zero fiscal note and recommends that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Larson, and Cowdery. Having no recommendation, Baska and M.M. Miller. House Bill 176 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 302 relating to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation relating to rural and non-conforming housing loans under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 302 CNRA with the same title and that it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mrs. Locker, Chairman, concurred in by Fritz, Clarkson, Phillips, Locker, and Tischer. Having no recommendation, Zemanski. House Bill 302 has a further referral to the House Special Committee on State Loans. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
From the House Committee on Committees. The Committee on Committees of the House of Representatives has met and submits the following changes in the membership of standing committees in the House. Representative Adelaide Herman to be added to the Committee on Health and Social Services in place of Representative Betty Cato. Signing do pass, Hayes Chairman, Barnes, Adams, and Fuller. M.M. Miller has no recommendation.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the report on the Committee on Committees be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the report of the Committee on Committees is adopted. Brings us to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation in memoriam, Robert Hadfield, by Representative Herman and Senator Mulcahy. Citation honoring Ashok Dhingra by Representative Kopanen. Citation honoring Arlene Bovey by Representative Jaroff. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 359 by Kopanen and Wente. An act establishing the Nick Begich Memorial Scholarship.
House Bill 359 is referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
House Bill 360 by Flood. An act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill.
House Bill 360 is referred to the Judiciary and Finance Committees.
House Bill 361 by Herman. An act making special appropriations to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for capital projects and to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for grants and providing for an effective date.
Transportation, Community and Regional Affairs, and Finance Committees.
House Bill 362 by the Rules Committee by request of the Special Committee on Legislative Reform. An act relating to standards of conduct of legislators and legislative employees and establishing a legislative ethics commission and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
House Bill 363 by M.M. Miller, Kopanen, and Clarkson. An act establishing the Public Energy for Transportation Organization, PETRO, and providing for an effective date.
Transportation, Resources, and Finance Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 270 by Liska, Adams, Bussell, Flood, Fritz, Grusendorf, Hurlburt, Lindauer, Malone, Martin, Phillips, Schultz, Zemanski, Tischer, Ward, Clarkson, Pestinger, Euling, and McBride. An act relating to child pornography. The committee on Hess has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 Hess with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. Report was signed by the co-chairman, Tischer and Fritz, and concurred in by Tischer, Fritz, M.W. Miller, Davis, and Gall. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration and recommends it be replaced with the Hess Committee substitute and attaches two new physical notes, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Adams, chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Flood, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Duncan, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Adams, Martin, and Bettesworth. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute Hess for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute Hess for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to child pornography.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Liska?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to hold up, prolong the vote on this particular piece of legislation, but I just have to say something in regard to this particular legislation. I feel that this is this type of legislation is long overdue in our state to help protect and at least protect our younger citizens. There's too many adults in the state that are out to make a buck, and they'll do anything to come to that end. And in the process, they are really injuring and hurting an awful lot of our young citizens in the state. This is one act that we can do as legislators to put a stop to this heinous type of activity which is going on within the state of Alaska today. Thanks.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 284 by Fuller and M.M. Miller, an act designating the bowhead whale as a state marine mammal. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 284 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 284 State Affairs with the same title, and attaches a zero fiscal note, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, chairman, signing do pass, Vasca, M.M. Miller, and Schultz. Having no recommendation, Abood, Cowdery, and Furness. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute State Affairs for House Bill 284 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 284 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute State Affairs for House Bill 284 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 284, State Affairs by the State Affairs Committee, an act designating the bowhead whale as the state marine mammal.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 284 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
The State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 284 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Zara.
May we have a brief at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 21 by Hayes, Gall, and McBride, requesting the governor to designate March 13th through 19th, 1983 as Alaska Employ the Older Worker Week. The Committee on Labor and Commerce has had House Concurrent Resolution 21 under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 21, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Furness, Chairman, concurred in by Wente, Euling, Ringstead, and Furness. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute Labor and Commerce for House Concurrent Resolution 21 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 21 is adopted in lieu of the original resolution. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 21 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 21 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring older workers by Senators Vic Fisher, Rohde, and Sturgiolowski.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation honoring the older workers and ask unanimous consent. And Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be shown as sponsors of this resolution.
Is there objection to the motion that all members of the House be shown as sponsors of the resolution? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there objection to the approval of the citation? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar to unfinished business. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused on the designated dates. Representative Pestinger, May 4th, 5th, and 6th. Representative Tischer from 2 p.m. today through April the 17th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the members are excused on the dates requested. One item of unfinished business like to deal with is House Concurrent Resolution 29, encouraging the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to use calcium magnesium acetate as an ice and dust control agent. That recently passed out of Transportation Committee and went on to rules. However, the resolution does carry a fiscal note of $200,000, so at this time I want to add a referral to finance. Other unfinished business to come before the body. Announcement of committee meetings. Oh, excuse me. Before we go to announcements, without objection, I'd like to move back up the calendar to reports of standing committees to read an additional committee report so it can go to the printers over the weekend. Without objection, will the clerk please read the report of a standing committee?
The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had House Bill 257 relating to certain limitations and exclusions in health insurance policies under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 257 Hess with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by the co-chairman, Tischer and Fritz. signing Dupass, Fritz, M.W. Miller, Tischer, having no recommendation, Davis, and Gall. House Bill 257 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to announcement of committee meetings. Representative Miller.
Speaker, if we could, I'd ask you to revert to unfinished business, and I'd like to move that Representative Shermansky be excused from the call for the balance of today.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Shermansky is excused for the balance of the day. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Martin be excused from the call of the House April the 21st from 4 p.m. through April the 24th at plain time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Martin is excused as requested. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last couple of days, we've been introducing a number of students from around the state that have been participating in the Elks Know Your State Government program. And Juneau, of course, is the host lodge of this program simply because of the seat of the government here. And there's one individual in Gallery A who has been chaperoning and somewhat responsible for this for the last number of years. He's also a past exalted ruler of the local Elks Lodge. I'd like to introduce to the body, and I certainly wish best wishes to this individual, Gallery A, and also a constituent of Representative Miller and Duncan, Greg Giroux.
Under announcements, Representative Fuller.
Thank you.
There will be a House Rules Committee meeting Monday, April 18th at 8:30 a.m. in the Butkovich Room. House Bill 1, an act relating to landlords and tenants, will be on the agenda. Further announcements, Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs will hear House Bill 315 today, an act making special appropriations to certain state loan programs. It's a carryover.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We won't hear the closeouts on Department of Safety budgets and also revenue. We'll have that up Monday at 7 p.m. Also on Monday's calendar, I'd like to add Senate Bill 240. That we heard this morning. It's a supplement appropriation relating to the legislature and its effective date.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, just joining us in the gallery behind me is a friend of yours and mine, certainly one of the neatest ladies that it's been my privilege to know in this state. Would you help me welcome Rose Palmquist?
Representative Bettesworth.
Under introduction of guests, please.
You have the floor, Representative Bettesworth.
A couple of good friends from Fairbanks and Gary Wilkin and Bill Gordon.
Further guests for introduction? Not, we'll return to announcements. Are there further announcements? Representative Malone.
Speaker, may we have a brief at ease, please?
Will the House please stand at ease? Are there further announcements? Special orders. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd request permission of the body to speak on the subject of gas.
You have the floor, Representative Miller.
Speaker, I guess more properly I should say gasoline, because there is a difference, of course. Speaker, today a number of us, Representative Copeland, Representative Clarkson, and myself, introduced House Bill 363, which creates an organization called Public Energy for Transportation Organization, in other words, PETRO for short. And Mr. Speaker, what the purpose of PETRO would be, this would be at first a feasibility examining commission to examine the reason so many of us in this state are paying such high prices at the pump for gasoline. Mr. Speaker, not only here, but in certain portions of your city and up and down the rail belt and elsewhere, it's incredible the amount of money that the people of Alaska are being asked to pay for gasoline in a state that's responsible for 15% of the basic energy crude that that's created in this country. Mr. Speaker, what this what petrol would do, and the reason I'm speaking on this because I would invite members of all political persuasions on this floor to consider co-sponsoring this legislation. What petrol would do would look into some of the reasons why gasoline prices in Alaska are so exorbitantly high. Some years back, gasoline for I think probably still legitimate reasons, was probably one of the real bargains that Alaskans had when the prices were inching up toward a dollar in the lower 48 states, Mr. Speaker. We were still paying considerably under that in Alaska. Now the situation has reversed itself. People are reporting to me that on trips to Oregon and to California, to Washington and elsewhere, they're seeing 85-cent gas at the pumps, 90-cent gas at the pumps, 95-cent gas at the pumps, while here locally, for instance, Mr. Speaker, we're paying $1.35 at the pumps, and I'm told that that is not a unique situation in the state of Alaska. Indeed, it's even higher in other areas. I at first thought that perhaps all of the retail owners of the stations were gluttonous, Mr. Speaker, and were seeking to gouge the public. But if the news stories on the subject are accurate, the problem is the wholesale price, which is well over a dollar. In other words, the retailers themselves are paying a wholesale rate higher than some of the motorists in Oregon, California, state of Washington are paying for their retail gasoline. So, Mr. Speaker, petrol would look into the reasons for this, and then going beyond the reasons, it would examine the feasibility of building or leasing or otherwise facilitating a state-owned or state-operated or state-leased refinery or refinery facilities. It would examine the feasibility of operating or leasing or otherwise facilitating low-cost retail gasoline stations in this state. There's a wide variety of ways that could be done. It could be outright state ownership. It could be perhaps through a co-op arrangement. Perhaps there are other innovative plans that might be examined. In any case, under the legislation and an accompanying appropriation that will be proposed Monday morning, the purpose of petrol would be to report back to this legislature and tell us why the people of Alaska are paying so much at the retail pump for their gasoline and what we can do to remedy that situation. And I ask you, Mr. Speaker, you and your colleagues in your caucus and colleagues in mine, to take a look at that legislation and consider co-sponsoring it. Thank you, sir.
Representative Ward.
Yes, I'd like privilege of the floor to speak on dog and pony shows.
Yeah, the floor, Representative Ward.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, it just came to my attention after reading the morning paper, and I didn't know it before this time, that there plans to be a dog and pony show started. And it's going to be run by Peter McDowell and somebody named Jones and some other people from the governor's office. Their plan is to take this document, or $250 million worth of capital projects, and run around the state and say they had public hearings and say this is a masterful thing. And what they attempt to do is to force lawmakers to change their ways. As I've only been a lawmaker for 90 days, and I have no problem changing my ways since I didn't know I was that stuck in them anyway, I would like to relate back to, they're going to follow the municipality of Anchorage's plan. Now, for the edification of the people here that didn't get to see the dog and pony show in Anchorage, we had a blitz. It was called the public input process. the municipality of Anchorage stood up before everybody with some slides and some pretty things, and they said, this is the list we would like. People talked. They took their very next list, went to the next meeting. They said, this is the list we would like. People talked, and they went to a third meeting. That was public input. Now, I would think that at this time, since we've already gone through this process at one time, if in fact this is the true wish of the administration to get the public input, which I have no disagreement with whatsoever, I think he's going to have to explain why some only approximately $600,000 is going to public safety, which was the number one thing in my district. And we've got $3 million going to an alcohol treatment facility and someplace called Fairbanks or something like that. But there's some things in here that maybe aren't exactly justified. I don't know. I would be glad to see this process. But I hope as they do it, they relay the entire project and also the total number figure, which is going to be going to Anchorage, my town, under the governor's proposal, which I do not intend to support at this time, because 20% of the pie is not what I was sent down here for. So I would like to see this dog and pony show when it comes off, and I hope that they have a two-way relationship for public input, and all the supplementals proposed by the governor are in there at that time, and I think that we'll have a better understanding of just how the process does work and how it should work. And I commend them for taking the effort, and I hope I'm willing to stand at this time and say, if they can force me to change my ways, which I didn't know there's any problem, I was just doing what my constituents said to do, but if they can force me not to do what my constituents want me to do, then I think that'd be pretty interesting. Thank you.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request permission of the floor to speak on Sunset.
You have the floor, Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Within our state government, there are various and sundry boards and commissions established for various reasons. For the most part, these entities serve a very important function in monitoring and promulgating the various regulations in the interest of the public good. The Sunset Review process, Mr. Speaker, provides an opportunity for legislators to review these boards and commissions, whereas we are charged with the responsibility of objectively looking at their operation and making some critical decision using a very, very critical eye. Those decisions, Mr. Speaker, should be, are they continuing to serve the public need? Has the entity serve the public need? Should they be continued? Can the organization be consolidated with perhaps another board or commission? What are the recommended amendments and changes to this board or commission? And last but not least, Mr. Speaker, should this commission be simply allowed to sunset? Mr. Speaker, I find it very distressing that there are several commissions that we currently have within our state government that are no longer serving the public need, and that the recommendation of the Legislative Audit Division has that they be either terminated or substantially changed has simply been ignored. Mr. Speaker, many of these commissioners are drawing fat salaries at the public trough for doing absolutely nothing. Mr. Speaker, I plan to draft a resolution within the next few days. We question that the governor take a critical eye and review those legislative reports, those legislative audit reports, and take steps to eliminate those commissioners and those commissions that are no longer serving the public need. Should the governor choose not to heed to that resolution, Mr. Speaker, I would suggest that the only alternative that we as legislators have in holding up our responsibility to the public is to use the sunset review process and simply eliminate these boards and commissions. Mr. Speaker, oftentimes we go through the process of this sunset review and I don't think we use it to the extent that we possibly can. But I see this as a very important need, and I would simply impress upon my fellow members of this body to use that sunset review to look critically at these commissions, and if they're not functioning, let's get rid of them. It doesn't make sense to pay these bureaucrats $70,000 to $80,000
to sit around and make decisions against the general public. I see this as one of the most pressing concerns that we can do in following our own responsibility of ridding this government of unnecessary bureaucracy. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lindar?
Yep. Mr. Speaker, I ask permission of the floor to speak about the permanent fund and make a few other related comments.
You have the floor, Representative Lindar.
My related comments are related to the previous speaker. I didn't realize our comments the day before were so persuasive about the need to deregulate cable television and other things where we have the government engaging in unnecessary regulation. An area where we do have regulation and government activity, however, Mr. Speaker, is the permanent fund, and I would like to take just a minute or two to discuss the permanent fund with the members of the body. As the body knows, the permanent fund was recently reorganized. Major reorganization, we established a separate entity, moved the operation of the fund's investments out of the Department of Revenue. We did that, Mr. Speaker, because there were big problems with the way the Department of Revenue was operating the permanent fund. We had low income from its investments, barely enough to keep pace with inflation, let alone generate anything we could pay out in dividends or have for other purposes. Up until a week or so ago, and certainly when it was in revenue, one of the problems was that all the investments were outside. Not one penny had been invested in Alaska. We had problems with staff. It was the same group of staff members who forthrightly gave us gold investments and then locked in a return of 1.9% per year at a time when the interest rate we could have earned by depositing in banks was almost 15%. And we had had them following a unique version of the prudent man rule, which severely limited the investments they could make to leave out investments which other large investment trusts following the prudent man rule could make. But worst of all, it was being administered to hold down prosperity in the state of Alaska. It was to protect, if you will, the state's lenders of money. From other sources of liquidity so that we could have the people of the state pay high interest rates for our home loans and business loans. It was generally an unsatisfactory condition. This body responded to that problem, took major steps to resolve the problem, and we, in effect, moved it, reorganized it to get better results. Unfortunately, I'm not so sure that we have yet achieved those results, because when we moved it, we apparently moved with it intact the staff of the previous administration who had done all these various things, and they carried with them basically same anti-Alaskan philosophy. They retain, for all practical purposes, their blind opposition to investments in Alaska, and they seem to retain the anti-growth legacy and philosophy of the previous administration. Now, Mr. Speaker, we want the permanent fund to be a high-quality investment situation. We want high-quality, we want safe investments, and we certainly want them to follow a normal, prudent man rule. We want to do reasonable things. We want to earn a reasonable income. We want them to follow rules such as are used elsewhere. What's happening, however, is that the fund is still being administered to benefit outsiders and perhaps a handful of rich Alaskans. Basically, we are sending our money outside at low rates of return and low rates of interest, and then other entities of the state government, such as the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, ADA, and so forth, are then borrowing back some of the money at higher rates of interest, leaving millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars behind outside to enrich those people with which we do business. Now, Mr. Speaker, Alaska is a very good place to make an investment. Our first mortgages and our business loans are considered by the world's financial leaders to be some of the best in the world. This is a safe, solid, good economy in which to invest. And throughout the world, large financial institutions are buying our mortgages, they're buying our loans, they're financing businesses which are expanding here, they're financing equipment such as airplanes which are doing business here. Alaska is a very good place to do business. Everybody in the world's financial community seems to have confidence in Alaska, except Alaska's own big investment group, the Permanent Fund. Mr. Speaker,
The permanent fund is too important to allow to squander its investments so that they can be run for the benefit of bureaucrats and philosophies which have been rejected by the voters in the past election. And it's too important to be run for the benefit of a handful of wealthy moneylenders. This permanent fund ought to be run prudently, Mr. Speaker. It should be run for the benefit of Alaska, and it shouldn't be run badly, which it is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that this session of the legislature adjourn until January 15th, 1984.
Question.
I would hope that the question.
Representative Szymanski, yes. I don't believe that motion is debatable. Representative Duncan?
Speaker, he can debate the time.
Yes, okay, you're correct. Would you restate the motion, please?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. The motion is that this session of the legislature adjourn until January 15th, 1984.
Okay, you may debate the time.
Mr. Speaker, I think that time is the essence of the motion. It's the 89th day of the session. As you know, and all the other members of this session, this legislature, no, I have and will continue to support a citizen legislature and one that will and can meet during a 90-day session. I believe that the time that I've established here and moving for adjournment today will bring about that that condition. I believe that the fact that we have moved ahead on the bears, the bees, and the bowhead whales during this session is significant, and that we probably don't have much left to do. So I would move, as I indicated earlier, that this motion be adopted.
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question. The question is, shall this session of the Representative Hurlburt on...
Would you read the motion again? So
yes, will the clerk please reread the motion?
Mr. Szymanski moved to adjourn this session of the legislature to January 15, 1984.
Are you ready for the question? Question, Representative Vasca.
I have a question, Mr. Speaker. What time of the day?
It wasn't stated, Representative Vasca. Are you ready for the question?
Question
is, shall this session of the 13th legislature adjourn until January 15, 1984? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Abood? Representative Abood from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
Six yeas, 30 nays.
Motion to adjourn has failed. Representative Clarkson.
Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on who's doing the best job.
You have the floor, Representative Clarkson.
I can't resist responding to the comments of the member across the aisle over there from Anchorage, who seems to think that everybody's doing it wrong except the legislature. And I guess I would submit that that's not the case, and in fact, the legislature ought to get its act together and start learning some things from the governor and the mayor of Anchorage with regard to an open public process. First of all, with regard to putting budgets together, we just put a budget together in one of the most disappointing processes I've ever seen. There were a number of members of this body that campaigned, particularly members of the majority coalition, who campaigned during this last election on the question of budget reform. And they spouted often and vigorously that they believed that we ought to have an open budget process, that we ought to have public hearings before the approval of a capital budget, that we ought to have
perhaps a two-year cycle for planning and design of capital projects. And that probably most important, we ought to know how much money we have before we start spending it. Well, that was all fine campaign rhetoric, Mr. Speaker, but apparently what we've seen is that they've forgotten what they promised during the election and gone right back to the old business as usual, because that's what this legislature did in passing the recent capital budget. So we have business as usual in the House of Representatives, Mr. Speaker, and we have a governor who's trying to revise that process by bringing public input into the process. We have a mayor with regard to his budget and the budget of the municipality of Anchorage who used one of the most open public processes that we've ever seen in this state in developing the budget for the municipality of Anchorage. And it seems to me that everybody else is doing it right and we're doing it wrong. Now, as far as the attacks we've seen on the municipality of Anchorage, I'm disappointed in those. It seems to me that some of the reason why we have the need for the type of budget in Anchorage that we have is because of the failure of the legislature to adopt some of its take some of its responsibilities. There were talks yesterday about $1 million increases in the budget and so on. Fact is, $1 million worth of increase in that municipal budget is to try to do something about traffic in Anchorage. The state of Alaska and this legislature couldn't get its act together to deal with traffic signals in Anchorage so that we'd have a reasonable traffic flow there, so the municipality of Anchorage had to take over that function. And it's going to cost them an extra $1 million to do that. And that's added to that budget because we couldn't do it on the state level. Mr. Speaker, there's $650,000 in that municipal budget that's going to staff and operate a facility that's a state facility that this legislature is refusing to adequately fund. The new senior center in Anchorage is going to have to be funded by the municipality because this legislature is not going to staff it. It's a perfect example of poor planning in the capital budget where you build things and then you're not willing to provide the money to run them. So the municipality of Anchorage has to do it. Those are just two examples, Mr. Speaker, of where the municipality is responding to public needs, they're having a public hearing process, and they're taking on additional responsibilities that the people of that municipality want and that this legislature is not willing to go for.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have privilege of the floor to speak on communications.
Yeah, the floor is a new word.
Yes, I drew that to attention because I don't believe for 1 minute, and if they have, then they can supply their list to me. But how we drug the, but anyway, that's fine. I don't believe that Mayor Knowles, and I especially know Mr. Peter McDowell, has not knocked on 4,700 doors like I have. Now, I know what the people in my district want. Now, if they knock on 4,700 doors and talk to the appropriate amount of people, which all those people didn't vote for me, but I listened to all of them, and I do know what they want, and if that coincides with what they're saying, then I will have known that they have talked to the people in College Gate, the University area, Russian Jacks, Wonder Park, and Mountain View. But to go down for a dog and pony show and get the Chamber of Commerce or whoever it may be to say this is what we want, let them go to my community and hear what I heard about the problems in my community, then I'll know they have a true cross-section of the state of Alaska. But otherwise, I don't believe Mr. Peter McDowell has been to North Mountain View. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on the value of work.
Yeah, the floor, Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. Yesterday, 38 members of this House co-signed a resolution encouraging the identification of employment opportunities for students. And almost all of us agree that the value of work is learned young, that good work habits do not come when you're 21, 22, 25, or later, especially if you have been unemployed. And they're not necessarily learned in high school. It's not something that comes in a book. But they are learned on the job, getting up in the morning, going there, and doing whatever you have, whether it's a clerical job or physical labor or something of the same sort. In this resolution, we encourage employers to identify job opportunities for Alaska students and encourage the Employment Security Division of the Department of Labor through its job services to identify these jobs. And yet, all of us know that job services has been underfunded and will probably continue to be underfunded in its employment counselors and other people such as that. In Community and Regional Affairs Subcommittee of the Finance Committee, we discussed the governor's proposal for $1.5 million for youth employment. This is a program partly based on the federal program that's coming and partly taking over the Youth Conservation Corps program of the Department of Natural Resources, from which it has been removed. That $1.5 million would not hire one bureaucrat, one secretary, one clerk. What it would have gone for would have been to pick up the YCC program, half of it, and the other half would have gone to municipalities, towns, and cities throughout Alaska for projects that the communities themselves wanted. To employ young people in useful tasks in the community, parks, playgrounds, painting houses, historical restoration, and the like. The administration of that, the people who are running it, are still going to remain in the program because that's paid out of federal funds. What the $1.5 million did was to free us from those entangling federal regulations which say that a family of four can't earn more than $12,000 a year for one of its young people to be eligible for the federal program. We were going to run our own program. But that entire sum was cut out, and the municipalities will not get those funds. And in addition, their municipal revenue sharing was cut out by the majority members on the Finance Committee when it came up to a vote, in fact, including seven of the same people who signed this resolution for the identification of employment opportunities for students. I don't see that we're either going to be teaching young people the value of work or the value of consistency or putting one's money where one's mouth is. I think that we have to, if we say that we are in favor of something in a resolution, we must be prepared at least to some degree to fund it, to carry it through, to see it to completion. It certainly seems a contradiction on the part of coalition members to vote down the practical and functional portion of youth employment, only to sponsor a resolution, good as it is, to identify job opportunities and yet not provide them. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Yearling.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, can I have the privilege of the floor to speak on capital projects?
You have the floor, Representative Yearling.
I'm a little bit, at this moment, a little bit abhorred to hear my colleague from downtown Anchorage who's talking about no public input on capital projects when, in many particular cases, when we took the capital appropriations and the projects on the supplemental through public hearings, and he sat in on those meetings, and he was there, and the other body's members were there, and I'm a little bit surprised to hear that kind of a charge at this point. Also, I'd secondly like to mention that the newspaper article that was in the Anchorage Times yesterday morning, which stated that the governor was going to take the budget reform question on capital projects to the people. I'd like to say that we've had those public hearings in this body as far as capital appropriations are concerned. We've also had the input from the public, and we've done a good job at it, and I don't think anybody wants to put a rubber stamp on what the governor does. Thank you.
President Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Kind of a situation today, if you don't. I think that the experience we had last year that shows that the House has been very, very open with all of its meetings, subcommittees, and the major finance committee. They've been well announced on each budget and subcommittee budget. And therein lies part of the problem. Because we dare to be open with the public, we are being condemned and raked over the coals for final decision making that had to be made. As far as the gentleman from downtown Anchorage, you know, where the final line is, it's a question. There's a lot of secret meetings that goes on. I think, in the other body much more than here. But it's the final line, the final judgment that counts. And I agree with the gentleman that the major concerns of Mayor Knowles have not been addressed. And I don't mind the mayor being upset at all that his Senate cohort from downtown Anchorage decided to put 4.7 into Sydney Lawrence that's been upgraded. I don't know how many millions we spent over the years re-upgrading that thing, but here's another 4.7. And then the horse trails, those are absolutely necessary things. And that bike trail along the coastline that no one will be able to use for 9 months of the years. These evidently our Senate counterpart thought were most important, and perhaps they should find out, well, we should have an understanding why they aren't supporting Mayor Knowles.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on state priorities.
You have the floor, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, I guess there's a couple of ways to look at the actions on the floor today and the remarks under special orders. One way to look at them is that, thank God, it's Friday. Another way to look at them, however, is that since we're not going to adjourn today, that maybe during this legislative session we do have time to deal with some state priorities. Mr. Speaker, one of those priorities, at least in my mind, is funding basic government services. This legislature and previous legislatures, I think, are aware that most of the basic government services in Alaska are not provided directly by state government. They're provided at the local government level. Fire protection, police protection, educational funding, road maintenance of city streets, things that affect people where they live, or programs that are carried out by local city councils and assemblies. The Alaska legislature has, over the years, recognized that those provisions of basic government services in a lot of ways. Probably the most important way they've recognized those, the importance of those services, is through the provision of adequate levels of municipal assistance and revenue sharing. Mr. Speaker, I think that a failure to recognize the importance of those services and the importance of the state to provide assistance, we all know is going to result in a reduction of services at the local level or in higher taxes or both. And in spite of some remarks that focus on the state's major municipality, that problem affects all the municipalities in the state of Alaska. Now, Mr. Speaker, there has been legislation introduced in this legislature to deal with the questions of municipal assistance and revenue sharing. House Bill 152 and House Bill 153 have been introduced in the House and considered by a committee and now residing in the Finance Committee. More recently, Mr. Speaker, the Senate companion bill, Senate Bill 98, was introduced in this body and is currently in the House Finance Committee. And all those items of legislation are supplemental appropriations that would make sure that the municipalities in the state of Alaska have a minimum level of state support for basic services. And so, Mr. Speaker, I haven't seen any action by the Finance Committee on this in this area since the session began, either on the House bills or the Senate bills. And I would like to direct a question through the chair to the vice chairman of the Finance Committee, since the chairman's not present, as to what the schedule is for the consideration of those supplemental appropriations. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we return to introduction of guest briefer, please?
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guest briefer, Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, it gives me a great pleasure to introduce to this body a well-respected Anchorage businessman and a very active member of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Ken Calhoun.
Representative Bettisworth.
Under introduction of guests, please, Mr. Speaker.
You have the floor. Representative Bettisworth.
We have in Gallery B a longtime friend of mine, a person who's been down here looking after the transfer of the Alaska Railroad, Jim O'Sullivan.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on capital projects very briefly.
You have the floor, Representative Clarkson.
Just in response to my the junior legislator from downtown Anchorage. I don't know what public hearings he's talking about. Senate Bill 162, which is sitting on the governor's desk, had no public hearings. No hearings where people in the public came in and testified on the projects that were inserted in that legislation. Now, he's saying there are some public hearings. They were in secret, Mr. Speaker, because I didn't see them, I didn't hear them, I didn't attend them. There was no way that there were any public hearings on Senate Bill 162, which is a bill we're speaking of. While I have the floor, I'm anxious to hear the response from the Vice Chairman of the Finance Committee with regard to the revenue sharing bills. I think those bills are crucial to all the municipalities of the state. There's no action been taken on the House bill, which has been sitting there for a couple of months now. No action taken on the Senate bill. There's some indications that the leadership of this body has no intention of taking any action, and I'd like to try to confirm that from the Vice Chairman of the Finance Committee. Is there an intention to take up either the House bill or the Senate bill on the supplemental revenue sharing appropriation, and if so, when?
Representative Festinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would briefly like the privilege of the floor on capital projects.
You have the floor, Representative Pesninger.
Whose idea was it to have a supplemental capital budget for FY83? Whose idea was that? I thought it came mainly from the executive office. Now, why isn't that clicking right now? Isn't it just a revenue problem? What are our constitutional rights and obligations? What are the governor's rights and obligations when we're talking about appropriations and budgeting? Maybe the legislature should just handle this appropriation process, period.
Representative Clarkson?
The idea for a supplemental capital budget was by the finance vice chairman.
Representative Ward, wish the floor?
Yes, I would. And just for a privilege of a question, through the chair to the previous speaker, does that mean that for the $80 million the governor spent on that, he had no public hearings? I did on the portion I put, you know, my money in on. The governor didn't have any public hearings? Oh, thank you.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, pursuing the same subject, and that is the need to provide and the importance of providing state assistance for municipal revenue sharing and for provision of basic services in Alaska communities, and without an answer from any member of the Finance Committee on what the intended scheduling on the legislation is, Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 98 be removed from the House Finance Committee, placed in the House Rules Committee for scheduling in the House floor.
Objection.
There is objection. Is there debate?
Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I think legislation such as these bills that have brought up do deserve a hearing. And I regret that I have to make a motion to attempt to move the bill from committee before a hearing's taken place. But, Ms. Speaker, I think we are moving up on a deadline for the supplemental funding. And I think that the communities in Alaska need an answer as to whether this legislature is going to appropriate the supplemental appropriation or not this year. The other body has taken action on an appropriation. We could deal with it in an expeditious fashion. And those people that want to see the basic services at the local government level continue to be carried out in an acceptable fashion, I would hope would support the motion.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there's it's one thing to grandstand and waste time. It's another thing to do the people's business. I'd like to speak to the motion and the supplemental appropriations. Mr. Speaker, revenue sharing and municipal assistance are two items that this House, this body, has had a history of supporting. But one of the problems that we're running into, especially in the time of declining state revenue, is that at the municipal levels,
We have got expectations beyond that which we are capable of funding. Mr. Speaker, when the state's coffers were flush, since 1980 we have contributed a great number of dollars, and the expectations of the municipal people have risen accordingly. But somewhere along the line, when the state coffers are no longer flush, and the oil that is coming out of the ground that funds this state is bringing less per barrel, not only do the municipal assembly people, the municipal mayors, and the borough people have to lower their expectations. Their expectations has to be lowered consistent with a dollar a barrel for oil that is going out of this state. It's fine to stand on this floor and talk about a supplemental appropriation. Last year, when we prepared and gave a budget to the municipalities and boroughs around the state, we didn't tell them to base their budget on a supplemental appropriation. But instead, Mr. Speaker, what we said, this is the dollar amount that you're going to get, and you should live accordingly. Instead, there are those municipalities, and not all, because some have been very, very consistent in their budgetary approach. They have looked at the problems of the state, and they have recognized that they have to live within their means, and certainly within the means of the state, and they've cut back accordingly. But there are some, Mr. Speaker, that are greedy. And greed is the only word that you can place on it. They want to upgrade their people mover system. They want to build more trails and more parks. And those aren't basic needs, Mr. Speaker. But there is one particular mayor around the state that loves to call those things basic needs. They aren't basic by any stretch of the imagination. One of the younger members of this body spoke of a dog and pony show. Mr. Speaker, I had an occasion to witness one of those dogs and pony shows. There was a meeting that was supposed to be to plan for capital projects within my district. I went. And lo and behold, there were the television cameras. And those television cameras were splashing upon the screen with all the world to see. The grandiose ideas for not what I call basic needs, Mr. Speaker, but more parks and trails. Not the projects that the people in my district were saying fund. They were saying fund our roads, fund our schools, fund our public protection. Those were not the items that were flashing on the screen. There was not one item that was flashing on the screen that I heard from my community councils, my PTAs, or the people that are active in the community of my district. So therefore, Mr. Speaker, I don't feel beholden to a dog and pony show that is supposed to help some believe that they are accomplishing that which the people desire. Mr. Speaker, to continue to stand on this floor and talk about a supplemental appropriation, in my opinion, is misleading to the public. It's leading the public to believe that we have dollars that we don't have. It is leading them to believe that they can continue the high expectations of the past. The high expectations of the past are no longer with us, Mr. Speaker. And the sooner the municipalities and the boroughs and the state of Alaska realize that and begin to adjust their budgets accordingly, the better off the people in those boroughs that I represent, Mr. Speaker, and you represent are going to be. Because if this path continues in the not too distant future, the property taxes will go sky high because at a time when they should have been cut back are the government services that are not necessary to the life, safety, and welfare of our people were not cut back. They're going to have to be picked up in property taxes. Because what you have is a growing bureaucracy, and you and I both know that when that bureaucracy continues to grow, that the appetites become so high that you cannot cut them back. Try cutting back the state employees out of the state budget And the same people that are standing here today hollering for supplemental appropriation will be standing on this floor squealing like stuck pigs for us trying to fire the state employees. Somewhere along the line, we have got to take a stand for responsibility. And I say it is now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, it always grieves me somewhat when we use words like greedy when we're talking about the people who serve on school boards across the state, when we talk about people who serve on borough assemblies across the state, when we talk about people who are councilmen, councilwomen across this state. Those people are not greedy, Mr. Speaker. They're not greedy any more than the members of this legislature are greedy. They're very conscientious individuals trying to make dollars that they have spread over as many programs. They happen to be local instead of statewide, such as we have. They're trying to make those programs work. They're trying to squeeze every dollar of performance out of every dollar they've got. And to characterize them as greedy, I think, does them as an insulting and does them a disservice, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if indeed the people of the municipalities are going to have to bite the bullet, and are going to have to see higher taxes as a result of the action or inaction of this legislature, I think the very least, Mr. Speaker, that those people are entitled to, the very least, is a public hearing on the subject, so that they can come in and communicate with us and let us know the rationale behind their requests. Perhaps the majority leader does not approve of parks. Fine. When somebody proposes a budget for parks, she can vote against it. That's what she's elected to do, is vote the way she sees things as they are. Others, Mr. Speaker, may be interested in upgrading sewage programs. Others may be talking still about unmet school needs. There's a great number of us do think that, for instance, such things as people movers are indeed basic, very basic. What is more basic to the needs of a community than a transportation system that moves people, and particularly moves people efficiently and at less cost, and not just one per car, than a people mover? But that's a decision that needs to be brought out in a public hearing. And if the municipalities can justify their requests, fine. Let's see what we can do to accommodate those requests. If they can't, then the people will have had an honest shot before the body. Mr. Speaker, I don't usually spend a lot of time praising the other body in this legislature, but they at least have dignified the request from local legislators. That means local school board people, local borough assembly people, local council people. They've dignified the honest and legitimate requests of those people with hearings in their body, and they indeed came down on the side of a supplemental appropriation so that taxes won't have to be raised. Mr. Speaker, I think the motion and the thrust of the motion that was made by my colleague from Kenai is very clear. If you want to have a public process where you will have to be responsible for casting a vote yes or no, a vote for higher local taxes or lower, or at least sustaining the present level of local taxes, we've got to have a hearing on that subject where the Finance Committee members can be recorded, and we need to bring that bill to the floor where the members of this body can be recorded. It's not fair to the people of this state to say, well, we haven't had a hearing on the subject, so I've never had the opportunity to vote on the question. That's not satisfactory, Mr. Speaker. This is an issue that's of paramount importance to most of the people of this state, half of whom reside in your community. And it's not a pleasurable thing necessarily to move to jerk bills out of committee. But in this case, this is the only alternative we have, and it will continue to be the only alternative we have, unfortunately, it looks like. But we will hope that perhaps some members of your caucus are rising above parliamentary and procedural agreements will see fit to bring this issue, which concerns so many people in this state before this body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I knew it was coming sooner or later, and I'm going to bring this to the body at this time. I think it's kind of amusing in some ways that we aren't able to see the forest for the trees. And I bring everyone back to the basic fundamental constitutional privileges that citizens of this nation have and citizens of this state have. One of the provisions within the Constitution reads that government shall provide only that which is not possible to be provided by the individual. And wouldn't it be wonderful, Mr. Speaker, if we would look back in history and set our course in the direction that our great country was set upon when the Constitution was founded. The problem with all of the arguments that we've heard here today and the tug of war that has been going on for days and weeks and years, if you will, is who's got the money? Now, the private sector does not hold the money bags. It is government that holds the money. The government also holds the most important wealth that you can identify, and that is land. When one has land, one has wealth. It would seem to me as though if you really wanted to solve this problem, that you would work, ladies and gentlemen, towards ending this tug of war constantly, where the people always have to come begging to a government who collects the money that should be in the private hands in the private sector in the first place. Our job would be much lighter. We would not have this hatred. We would not have this tug of war constantly, and we certainly wouldn't have a bunch of empire builders. Think about that a little bit. Which side of the fence would you like to be on? If that is not possible at this moment, then perhaps we ought to at least think about that a little bit and provide to the private sector, to our citizens, that which they cannot themselves provide. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to speak in support of the motion. In reference to a couple comments that the Majority Leader made, I thought I should perhaps remind her or perhaps concur with her in a couple of her statements. One, that this body does have a history of supporting passing revenues on to municipalities. I would have to remind her, however, that that history was made, Mr. Speaker. That history was made when another party was in charge of this body. That was a history of this legislature, Mr. Speaker, the history of this House during the late 1970s and the first year of this decade, 1980. However, that history changed last session when we short-funded revenue sharing and when we short-funded educational foundation funding. That changed, Mr. Speaker, when the party which you belong to and which Majority Leader belongs to took charge of this legislature. So we're changing history, Mr. Speaker, by not passing on those revenues to local municipalities. She also commented that when the municipalities set their budget, we didn't tell them to come back for a supplemental. She's correct, Mr. Speaker. We didn't tell the municipalities that they should come back for a supplemental appropriation for revenue sharing or for education or for school construction debt financing. We didn't tell them that because we didn't tell them we were going to short fund them. Mr. Speaker, we didn't tell the municipalities that we were going to short fund those formulas that we had set by statute and that we had a history of honoring. We didn't tell them we were going to break a commitment to them that we had had a history of honoring over the years. Mr. Speaker, the municipalities, and I think each and every one of us knows that, the municipalities set their budgets prior to the time that this legislature appropriated money. They set their budget prior to the time that we passed the final operating budget of this state, which included the money that was going to be passed on to them for revenue sharing and for educational funding. No, we didn't tell them to come back for a supplemental, but we didn't tell them that either that they were going to be short-funded to a very serious extent. Mr. Speaker, What we've done over the past couple of years, we've short-funded educational funding at about a level of 95%. We've short-funded revenue sharing. We've short-funded funds that are to be passed on to municipalities to reimburse them for the cost of school construction. In fact, there's a supplemental appropriation that members of the minority introduced this year requesting $13 million. $13 million so that the legislature could honor the commitment we made to the local municipalities on school construction debt financing, and that hasn't moved. Mr. Speaker, we caused the need for the supplemental by not living up to the commitment that the legislature had made by through statute. And we're compounding that, Mr. Speaker, by not moving on to supplementals, and then by following up that action by funding education this year at a proposed level of 92%, action which members of your body voted for on this floor not too long ago. And I see now that some of those who voted for that have headlines in the various papers where they're seeking property tax relief because they want to now try to go back and correct the mistake they made. Speaker, we're compounding that problem by decreasing revenue sharing for the coming year, a vote that was just taken in the House Finance Committee about a couple of days ago, and all members of, with the exception of one, of the majority party, voted to decrease revenue sharing below that what is required. And Mr. Speaker, all the information I have indicates that we're going to fund the school construction debt financing program at 71% of the actual need. 71% of the actual need. Mr. Speaker, all this translates into increased property taxes for your constituency and for my constituency and for the constituency of all of us throughout the state. Mr. Speaker, I, for one, don't think that's what the people of this state want. I think they want the legislature to live up to the commitment that we've made, the commitment to pass those revenues on for educational programs and for basic services throughout the state. And Mr. Speaker, the argument that we don't have the money just doesn't hold water. We have the money. It's a matter of setting priorities. It's a matter of determining whether you want to provide basic services and programs for the people of this state, or perhaps you want to continue to pump this money into capital projects that really don't serve a basic need and are only increasing the operating costs for local governing bodies. Mr. Speaker, I think the members of the majority better look very carefully at what the history of this legislature has been and the direction that this majority coalition is taking right now to change that history, Mr. Speaker. You have an opportunity to correct that by voting in favor of moving these bills.
I'd like to remind the body that we are debating the issue of removing Senate Bill 98 from finance and placing it in rules. We're getting a little bit off the course from time to time. Representative Ward?
Yes, under debate, obviously. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to draw to the body's attention that weren't on the finance. I'm in finance, and I'm going to speak to the matter, but I wanted to briefly touch on the previous speaker's remarks. I myself voted for increasing over the governor's requested amount for revenue sharing to the municipality, $57,950,000, which I consider a substantial increase over what the governor said to give them. And I believe that